Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle.
This is Patriots Playbook.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the seven route.
Patriots Playbook, breaking down last Sunday's game.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because okay. The backers are going to fast read over the top.
Next Sunday's game.
Want to go odd. 5, Patriots Playbook. 51 mirror.
And the rest of the 2007 NFL
go
season.
Stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
And some of the fun stuff in between.
Even. 51 grapes. Even. 51 grapes.
And now... here's John Rook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Good afternoon, Patriots fans. Welcome to the Patriots Playbook. I'm your guest host for the afternoon, Mike Parenti. Joining me this afternoon is a new co-pilot, Boston Metro sports editor, and author of the book, The Blueprint, How the New England Patriots Beat the System to Create the Last Great NFL Superpower. Joining me is Chris Price. Chris, great to have you. How are things?
Great to be here, Mike. How you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic. I got a new co-host today. We had Buddy Love from WSKO 790 The Score with us yesterday.
We love Buddy.
We love Buddy because he's Buddy Love. And today we got Chris Price. No clever nickname for you other than Hollywood Chris Price.
Hollywood, big
time. Which we will get into later. But I wanted to bring up your book for a second, Chris, because this has hit shelves just a while ago.
Uh-huh.
I've seen some positive reviews. You had a New York Times writer get off the couch and watch football for the first time in years by reading your book. You are an inspiration to people everywhere.
Hey, you know what? That's very, very nice of you. That's very nice of you. That's very nice of him. They gave me a nice thumbs up. They didn't like the Giants book so much, but that's okay. You know, they gave me a nice thumbs up. The Globe gave me a decent review. You know, it's all good. It's all good. It's gone very, very well. One of the coolest things is I've been out and about doing book signings, out in the community, talking to people, talking to Patriots fans. And I love just going back and forth, talking football with these people. It's great. It's been a blast, man. It's been a lot of fun. I've had a chance to meet a lot of great Patriots fans, and I hope to meet a lot more. I got book signings down the road, too.
I want to warn people. Today's show is going to be a two-hour infomercial, kind of like the one you see at 8 in the morning, that colon cleansing infomercial. You ever see that one?
My favorite one, though, is Eric Estrada selling the swampland.
Ooh, that's scary stuff.
Tennessee,
would you buy swampland from Eric Estrada?
But no, not from Punch.
And would you buy colon cleansing advice off the internet or on TV?
From a guy who looks like John Waters.
Yeah, and he's got that slick back, greasy ponytail.
He looks a little bit
greasy.
Cool.
Yeah, I just don't want to see any of that. But this is going to be a clean, wholesome infomercial. We're going to talk a little bit about books. We're going to talk about the New England Patriots. We're going to talk about this week's opponent, the Buffalo Bills. And I want to go back a bit to yesterday. I had Buddy Love on the show, and in my usual bombast, not knowing what I was talking about, I said, there's no way Marshawn Lynch does not play. Well, here we are today. We find out now he is doubtful. Dick Geron has all but ruled him out. And, Chris, I want to ask you this. If Marshawn Lynch is doubtful, are the Bills' chances of winning this game doubtful?
The Bills' chances are even worse than doubtful at this point. Marshawn Lynch is the best thing to happen to them offensively in a long, long time. And they needed all hands on deck if they wanted a chance against the Patriots. And I don't think that they're going to have much of a chance against the Patriots. I will say this, that Sunday night, Monday nights in Buffalo, as we saw earlier this year against the Cowboys. And traditionally, Buffalo is the only team in the NFL that's unbeaten at home on Sunday nights.
No kidding.
Sunday nights in Ralph Wilson Stadium, Monday night games like that, they can get a little loud, they can get a little funky. If the crowd gets into it and they get that emotion and they get that momentum, I think there's a chance. I'm not saying there's a big chance,
but
I'm saying there's a chance that something weird could happen. I think it's important for the Patriots, as they've done most of the season so far, to come out, get that big lead, sit on them for, 15 or, 20, 20 points or so. They get that big lead in the second half. They take all the air out of the football. They take the crowd out of the game.
Yeah, you want to get the crowd out of it.
Exactly. You want to take the crowd out of the game early in this one. You don't want to have anything funky, anything weird going on third and fourth quarter like you saw with the Cowboys. They just barely got out of there with a win. I'm not saying that there'd be a chance for an upset, but I'm saying that it wouldn't hurt to get up on them by two or three touchdowns early.
You know, the thing is, they're not used to having these night games in Buffalo.
Yeah, it's true.
So maybe they have them once every 15 years. The crowd's amped up. It's like a big frat party at Ralph Wilson Stadium. And we saw it against Dallas, like you said. And the irony of all this is they've won 5 out of 6 and should have won the 6th game.
They really should
They should have beaten Dallas.
They really should
That took a fluke onside kick recovery. We had that crazy timeout on the field goal. Some big time passing by Tony Romo in the end. I mean, we've got to give him a lot of credit for the way he led the troops down the field in that game. But all things considered, Buffalo should have won that.
They really should have.
And we talked about it yesterday. This team has come in so hot that playing such good football, despite terrible numbers on both sides of the ball, statistically, this is not a good team.
No, it's not. It's not. But one of the things that they are getting, they're getting great production out of Lynch. they're getting pretty good production out of the quarterback position. Not great production, but pretty good production.
Good enough.
Exactly. Good enough. They have a decent defense, and they have a very good special teams unit. You know, we've joked about this during Belichick's press conferences yes. this week, but at the same time, it's true. There's a certain grain of truth to that, that they really shine on special teams in the kicking game and the punting game. They really do very good work when it comes to getting field position. When it, you know, when it's a field position game,
yeah.
the Bills are a pretty good football team. I don't think that's going to be enough to beat the Patriots. However, we shouldn't be surprised if we see the Bills make 2, 3, 4 good plays in special teams this week.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think if they're getting pummeled on offense and defense, what difference does special teams make?
That's true.
I mean, if the game's close, mm-hmm. yeah, a big punt return in the fourth quarter to get the ball to the 50-yard line or the 45, now you got a chance. You shorten the field, especially if it's if we're talking about a field goal here. Now, you, and I think I heard somebody talk about it. I'm not sure if it was Tom Brady or who it was. After a game, talking about the impact that special teams has, and he basically said, well, now you're only two more first downs or two first downs fewer to get that close enough for the field goal.
Yeah, yeah.
So in other words, you just got less ground to cover. You complete a couple of big pass plays, you're right there in range if your kicker's good enough, and Buffalo's got a good enough kicking game where they could get something late. But again, if you're getting whooped on both sides of the ball, yeah. it's not going to make a difference. And not only is Marshawn Lynch out, they've lost two tight ends this week, both placed on injured reserve. Now they've lost weapons in the passing game and their running game. I mean, it's going to be Anthony Thomas out there. They're not a very vertical team in the passing game, mm-hmm. other than Lee Evans. They don't mm-hmm. throw deep enough. Edwards wasn't thrown particularly deep. Lossman's going to come back. Maybe he does a little bit more. And maybe there's a little revenge factor. But even he sidestepped yeah. things this week with his conference call. We're going to hear from that later on, by the way, the J.P. Lossman conference call from yesterday, where he kind of backtracked on Vince Wilfork and said, mm-hmm. eh, you know what, it's not a big deal. I mean, he was out for blood the first week.
Yeah,
he wanted, you know, $100,000 fines, you know, all this stuff. He was out for justice, and now he's kind of scaled back. I wonder, Chris, if they're just trying not to say too much. Don't poke the animal in the cage with a stick.
You know,
keep your mouth shut. Just play the game because they're going to run the score up on everybody.
Exactly. One of the things that I found really interesting was the fact that Jerron, when the whole Spygate thing went down, Jerron didn't pile on with a lot of the coaches and didn't say a whole lot and didn't, like you said, kind of kick the sleeping dog when it was down. You know, he didn't do a lot of that. It's clear that there's some respect there for Belichick, but I also think at the same time, it's pretty smart coaching on his part that, you know, not to provide any bulletin board material. This team is pretty smart. This Buffalo team is pretty smart in that regard.
Yeah.
You know, they don't do a lot of that. If you look at them the last couple of years, they don't play stupid. They don't do dumb things. They don't say dumb things like we've seen it's, you know, so often around the National Football League. The Bills are very smart in that regard. I think it's going to help them this week.
You know, the funny thing is, Jerron kept his mouth shut and they still got pummeled 38-7. He's probably thinking, come on, I didn't even say anything. What are you running up on me for?
I think that's a good
Listen
point.
Listen to Wade Phillips. Could be a lot worse.
It's going to be interesting. And for me, it's fascinating to see the relationship between Dick Jerron and Bill Belichick, because mm-hmm. you know, we're conditioned to think that Belichick doesn't have a whole lot of professional cronies, you know, other than the guys that he worked with, Cornell, Weiss, Saban, that kind of stuff.
And Genie.
Well, yeah. there seems to be a level of real professional respect there between Belichick and Jerron. Now, we're used to the traditional backslapping that goes on between the coaches around here. You know, it's nothing we haven't heard before, but this seems to run a little bit deeper. I think a lot of that, you know, you can look back again, like I said, at the whole Spygate thing. Jerron didn't pile on. Belichick very clearly thinks that Jerron should be coach of the year. If he had a vote for coach of the year, you know, Jerron would be coach of the year. I think that makes a lot of sense. It's fascinating to me to see the relationship between the two. I think it's going to help the Bills in the long run. I think if the difference is between, you know, 45-7 or 52-7, I think the Patriots are going to back off a little bit.
I guess it's a small consolation to only get beat by 35 points in the end.
You know what they are now, though? They're the second best team in the AFC East.
Doesn't take much.
Yeah, it doesn't take much. But at
the other
same
two teams are combined 1-17.
But when you're an AFC East team and you're not the Patriots and you're starting to even think about the word playoffs.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? That
well, they've got a shot. We detailed
right
that
direction.
Yesterday. Yeah, they are heading in the right direction. Buddy Love thinks they're a team on the rise.
I do. I
even
would,
went as far to say that.
I wouldn't go that far. Exactly. I wouldn't go that far. But they're headed in the right direction.
They do have a shot because they play two of the wild card contenders. In the next 7 weeks, they win those games, maybe even split. They've got a shot to get a wild card playoff berth. Now, they would get blown out in the first game. I have no doubt about it.
But they're there.
To get in.
Exactly.
To get
there.
In is a big step forward for a team that hasn't been there in quite some time. I can't even tell you the last time Buffalo made the playoffs.
It's been an awful long time.
Music City Miracle?
I think it might have been the music. I think it was the last
that
time.
That was, right?
I think that was the last time they
were in
the
playoffs. Never went back again.
And they never went back again.
Unbelievable.
Yes. That was 2000. That was a long time ago. Wow.
That was too long ago.
Wow.
I remember watching that game and just thinking that there are no flags on the field.
But they are a team on the rise. They are a team that is doing a lot of the right things.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be interesting to see in the next year or two the moves that they make to try and close the gap between themselves and the Patriots and try and keep climbing that ladder in the AFC.
To segue from that, I'm going to ask you what I asked Buddy yesterday. Is this the toughest game they play the rest of the year?
Buffalo or the Patriots?
No. Is this Buffalo game the toughest game for New England the rest of the year?
No. I think that series of games. Now I'm going to kind of weasel out of the question here a little bit.
Uh-oh, you got to sit on the fence here.
Exactly. I'm going to sit right on the fence. There's a three-game stretch for this Patriots team after that where you go Eagles, Ravens, and Steelers, where you go 1-2-3. Now, separately, taking those games separately, I think the Patriots are better than all three of those teams. But in a row, when you face three very physical defenses, chances are that third game, and you're coming off a short week on that second week, that third game is going to be a little tough. I'm not saying that the Patriots are going to lose that game, but I'm saying that I wouldn't be surprised that if that game would be a lot closer than a lot of people would think. It's a tough series of games. You're going three of them right in a row, and the third one is on a short week coming back Monday to Sunday. I think that game could pose some difficulties for the Patriots. I think the biggest thing through that stretch is going to be keeping them healthy. I think as long as they can stay healthy through that three-game stretch, then we could talk about that U word that everyone out there, you know, everyone else is talking about. I think we can really start to
unicorn.
I think we can realistically start to discuss that at that point. But that three-game stretch is going to be the toughest for them this year. Once they get past that, it's smooth sailing.
You know, I tend to think that playing three primetime games in a row could be tough. I don't know why I tend to think that, but I get this impression in my head that you play Sunday night and you come back Monday morning a little groggy. It's a late night. You get ready for the next week. You do it again a week later.
Yep.
And then it's Monday night. Now your week is a little bit longer, so you get to push back that day. But there's a lot of attention and a lot of focus when you play on primetime 3 weeks in a row. This team's used to that stuff. They thrive to play on the big stage, and they've never really had a problem with that. But the NFL, it's funny because the NFL could kind of play a role in how this works out with this flex scheduling. NFL is playing a part in history.
They really are. Now I don't think that, you know, on the surface, you know, Sunday night, Monday night games, you know, to us anyway, it's all, you know, all kind of comes out in the wash.
Yeah.
But to the players who are creatures of habit more than anything else, those Sunday night games, and we talked to a couple of guys about this in the locker room yesterday, when you're playing on Sunday night, when you're playing on Monday night on the road is when it's toughest, because then you really lose an entire day.
That's true.
You're coming back then after that game, and that's one of the reasons that I think that that game against the Steelers is going to be tough, because you're traveling after the Monday night game in Baltimore. You're coming back to Foxborough, and you basically lose an entire day of preparation for a Pittsburgh team that's playing some pretty good football at this point.
You know, that's a good point. We didn't even really touch on that yesterday, and I hadn't thought of that, because I don't think the Baltimore game is going to be tough.
No.
Baltimore stinks. They're not going to get it done. But you're right. Coming back on a short week to have to deal with a Pittsburgh team that's playing real well, defensively in particular.
Exactly.
Number one in almost every category.
Exactly.
That could be the week, perhaps. The only reason I was pointing to this week, and now with Lynch out, I'm kind of backing down from that a bit, because I don't think they have a chance without their best running back. But the thing to me was having the bye week, coming back now, a two-week layoff, maybe you're a little bit rusty. Buffalo's playing well. They just had a nice rally against Miami. They've had two fourth-quarter comebacks in a row. There's a little momentum in their favor. But again, talent's going to win out in the end.
Exactly.
I don't know that this can happen without Marshawn Lynch.
The only
I'd probably
way,
say no.
I really believe the only way that the Bills even have a whiff of winning this football game is if something weird happens early. If they get a couple of returns, if Brady throws a pick and they run it back for a touchdown and they get that momentum, they get that momentum, they get the crowd into the game, then I think the Patriots are going to have a dogfight on their hands. I think it's going to be absolutely imperative for this Patriots team to come out and put two or three touchdowns on the board early, take that crowd out of the game. They're not going to have Marshawn Lynch, their best offensive option, to fall back on. I think that's going to help. In a lot of ways, I think it's going to make them a one-dimensional football team. They're going to be reduced to throwing the football to stay in the game, and then, well, at that point, it's all over.
Yeah, I mean, J.P. Lossman and Trent Edwards have combined for three touchdown passes the entire season. That's the entire season.
Yeah.
Tom Brady threw five touchdowns and a half against Miami.
Yeah.
I mean, do we really need to compare passing games here?
No.
And they've thrown, as a team, four touchdowns the entire year. One was by a running back. Marshawn Lynch.
I think Lynch now has a hand in seven or either six or seven of their 10 touchdowns this year.
Lynch has a hand in 25% of the passing touchdowns.
Yeah.
I mean, how sad and pathetic is that if you're Buffalo?
Yeah.
No yeah. passing game.
No, it's very little
no passing game.
And again, without Lynch, though, in that lineup, they are going to be forced to pass the ball probably more than they would like.
Have fun.
Exactly. And then, you know, it's like Jarvis Green says, at that point for a defensive lineman, it's just pin your ears back and go after the quarterback.
They're going to be licking their chops
yeah.
on Sunday night, I'm afraid, if yep. they're the Buffalo Bills.
I agree. I agree. The Bills are doing a lot of good things. They're a talented young team. And again, like I said, they're headed in the right direction. That being said, I don't think it's going to be enough to win this football game on Sunday unless something weird happens, unless something funky happens, unless some sort of special teams, you know, star comes out. I don't think the Bills have a chance of winning this game.
We got an email from a friend of ours who tried to get in on the first show and did not. This is from James from Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, and he says, "Hi, guys. Here are two things Patriots fans can look forward to as the bid for an undefeated season continues. Number one, a lot has been made of the supposed soft schedule for the Patriots have had this year, but I say you cannot really make that judgment until you know how each team's final regular season record will shake out. We all know that the question will still be asked and the comparisons will continue. So to answer those questions, I thought I would compare the winning percentage of the teams the Patriots have played so far this season to the final winning percentage of the teams that the undefeated 72 Dolphins and the 15-1 85 Bears played during the regular season of those prospective years." I think he means respective years.
Mm-hmm.
72 Dolphins obviously had a 14-0 record, played two teams with winning records and three teams with 500 records. Combined record of their opponents, 70-122-4. Four ties that year?
Yeah, I know. That was weird. I will say this. Let me jump in on that really quickly,
ahead.
Though.
Yes.
There's a great piece on ESPN.com written by Sal Palantonio who kind of breaks down the 1972 Dolphins and their schedule and just who they went up against. And when you break down their schedule and look who they faced over the course of that season, that undefeated season doesn't look as impressive as it did before.
He goes on to say the 85 Bears, who were 15-1, played six teams with winning records and two teams with 500 records. Combined record, 121-135. And this year's New England Patriots, who are 9-0, have played five teams with winning records. The current combined record, 39-42. To go back to your point about the 72 Dolphins, and I debated this with Buddy yesterday, I understand they did not play a lot of great teams. But when you look back in history at the teams who have had a chance to go undefeated, they've often lost to mediocre teams.
That's true.
The 98 Broncos went to Giants Stadium and lost to a bad, bad, bad Giants team.
Well, who did the Colts lose to last time they started?
Well, they lost to San Diego.
They lost to San Diego, which was a pretty good team. That's true.
But it has happened in the past. You go in and you lose to teams that just don't have a lot to play for.
You shouldn't lose to
them. Other than knocking you off and playing spoiler, and sometimes that's enough. So I have to give the Dolphins credit because they were targeted every week. As soon as they probably hit 10-0 and 11-0, and now that the talk starts, everybody's trying to knock them off. And to go out there and just beat a team you should beat, to me, is easier said than done.
Mm-hmm.
This team hasn't always done it.
Two things.
Monday night in Miami in 2004.
Exactly.
How did that work out?
Yeah,
Dolphins had one win at the time.
Two things. First off, Belichick says you play your schedule. You
know, I agree.
He always says that. You play your schedule. So you can't fault the Dolphins in this instance because they played their schedule. They won all the games on their schedule. Before the season, the Patriots had the third toughest schedule in the NFL this year. So I think that definitely, though, counts for something. When you talk about the difficulties of the schedule, when you talk about this in that context, I think the Patriots' schedule should figure into it.
Well, but look at it now. At the beginning of the season, we said, wow, San Diego, Cincinnati, two tough teams.
Jets made the playoffs,
Oh, the
too.
Jets. They were a playoff
team.
Well, the Jets suck. San Diego's mediocre, and Cincinnati sucks.
Yeah.
So what are we looking at now?
Yeah.
And see, it doesn't look so good now.
Two very different schedules.
Miami is terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, you figure Miami would be somewhat competitive.
Miami's going to go 0-16. You know how hard that is to go 0-16?
I think that's probably harder to do than go 16-0.
That's almost, I don't know if it's harder,
yeah,
but it's
harder.
I think it's tougher than a lot of people give it, you know, would think it would be.
I just can't fault, to me, and I said this yesterday, the 72 Dolphins are still the best team of all time until somebody else goes undefeated.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know that strength. I keep coming back to that, though. I keep coming back to that strength of schedule. And for you, they're the best team because they went undefeated. Now, if you stack them up against, say, the 1989 49ers, who didn't go undefeated but were still really, really good and had probably, I can't say this for sure, but I would imagine had a tougher schedule. Now, so the end all and be all for you is going undefeated. That proves that you're the best team.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. All right, that's where we're just going to agree to disagree.
Because I think it's easier said than done. Even if you have all cream puffs on the schedule, everybody has a great week and plays over their head for at least 1 week.
Okay, well,
and everybody's entitled to a bad week.
Okay, well, here's the question for you then: if
the
Patriots go 15-0 and then sit everyone that final Saturday night in the Meadowlands, if Matt Gutierrez is
starting, if they're not trying to win the game, I'm not gonna I'm not going to count that against them.
15-1 and yeah. then going on to win the Super Bowl, are they less of a team than the 1972 Dolphins?
That's a good question.
For you, the end all and be all is going undefeated.
Yes,
is keeping your foot on the gas pedal.
If we're judging greatest of all time,
okay.
I mean, I really couldn't care less in the grand scheme of things going into the playoffs what they do. But I'll tell you what, right now, if they're 15-0 going into Week 17, they're not starting Matt Gutierrez.
Okay,
and they're going to go for it.
Okay. Okay,
you think they'll go for it? I
think they will too. At the start of the season, I thought that, well, you know, there's a chance they'll sit him down. At this point, I honestly believe that they are in favor of the scorched earth policy.
Yeah.
They are just going to keep their foot on the gas pedal and keep rolling toward that undefeated season.
And they should.
Yeah.
Because you know what? You're going to get the bye. You're going to have 2 weeks. How many weeks do you want your starters not playing? Because look what the Colts did.
Yeah.
Was it 2 years ago?
Yeah, it was 2 years.
I mean, Manning was taking vacation days in November.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
How'd
that work out for you? See, I think too much rest is a bad thing.
I think
give
the
you the
one
bye
thing...
week. The bye week's enough. Let those guys play week 17. You're still playing for something. Take your week off. Have your 2 week vacation. You're fine.
The one thing that would have worked in their favor in this regard is if they were being chased by someone. Say if they entered the last week of the season 15-0 and Indianapolis was 14-1 and they needed to win that game to secure a home field advantage. Then I think in the context of that conversation, you could say this is a team that needs to keep going for it, that needs to keep their foot on the gas and keep rolling toward that undefeated season. Now I'm starting to back off that a little bit. I still think they're going to go as far as they can go for that undefeated season, but I don't know if they're going to risk absolutely everything for it at this point.
Well, it's pretty safe to say if they're 15-0, they're going to have everything locked up.
Yeah,
they will be playing for nothing other than an undefeated season. Yeah. And see, I think Bill Belichick, the historian,
creeps in
a little bit and says, "Oh, this would be pretty damn cool."
Yeah,
how could you not?
Yeah,
he's a human being.
Yeah,
right? You sure?
All right, right,
right, right. Somebody convince me. Okay, we've had a great first half hour. I think it's time to take a break with Gary Gordecki. So we're going to come back on the other side and talk about this subject some more. We have some more emails as well, so just stay tuned to Patriots Playbook.
He's been a 3-time champion, 2-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
3 touchdown passes in the first half.
Now Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph, perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of 3 flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
When you got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Somebody set off the booty alarm. Gary Gradecki provided the music today. This is good stuff. If I had my own radio show, I'd play nothing but booty music and Phil Collins.
Ignorant booty music.
Ignorant booty bass-heavy music and Phil Collins. I want to diversify my portfolio. No, there really isn't. There's no... Here we go.
This is Mike Parenti's
show. If I start busting out the karaoke, this show ends permanently. I'll tell you what, right now. Oh, yes. See, Gary knows how to make me smile. And I mean that in the most heterosexual way possible.
Benign heterosexual way possible.
Like I said, we got some more emails today. Tony from New Canaan. New Canaan, Connecticut?
There you go.
Look at this. We have Dick Clark in the studio, ladies and gentlemen. That's cute. That's real classy. Real classy. Way to keep it classy, Gary. Anyway, our buddy Tony writes us and says, I think the Pats should employ more four-man lines in the second half of the season.
Go f*** yourself.
Now with Seymour healthy, I'd like to see more of four-man line with Jarvis Green out there. I'm still concerned about our linebackers. I think they need the added protection that an extra lineman would provide. What do you guys think? Chris Price, what do you think?
I think that's an interesting idea, but I think you would do it on a case-by-case basis. I don't think you would do it against a team, say a pass-heavy team.
No.
But I think if you're looking at a team that's going to run the football a lot, maybe try and grind the clock out, maybe try and kill some clock, I think it would be a possibility because, you know, they've been shown to be flexible in the past. I mean, they can do those sorts of things. They can kind of adapt to that sort of situation. But I don't think you would see it. I don't think you would see them shake up their 3-4 base defense.
No, they're not going to switch out of the foundation they've used for the past 5-6 years.
Yeah.
And I think if you have a four-man line, you better have some pass ends who rush. That's where you're going to generate most of your pass rush. I think this team generates most of its pass rush from its linebackers.
Yeah, from its and specifically from the outside.
Exactly. Half the linebackers were college linemen anyway.
Yeah.
And so they can play with their hand on the ground. I don't want to switch with what's working fine. I think when you have a great nose tackle like Vince Wilfork, who right now I believe is leading all nose tackles in Pro Bowl voting,
yep,
and is probably going to be a Pro Bowler this year. You got a Pro Bowl nose tackle. Why would you switch out of the 3-4?
Now you'll see them make some moves though from time to time. You'll see them
move into bring down different linemen.
Against Miami earlier in the year, they had one down lineman. You know, in the Super Bowl 39, they played two down linemen. They'll quite often go to that on a third and long situation, and they'll mix things up. I'm not going to say that they won't mix things up, and I'm not going to say that there isn't a possibility of them going to a four-man line. But I don't think you're going to see too much of a change from what they do right now, which is the traditional 3-4 base defense.
I mean, half the time when you watch them on defense, you need a spreadsheet to tell who's out there and what they're playing and what they're lined up in. There's no black and white.
Yeah.
There's a lot of gray area. And you're going to see different setups. You're going to see three safeties out there at times,
yep,
which Bill Belichick talked about this afternoon in his press conference. We're going to get to some locker room audio, Chris, in about 10, 15 minutes or so. But before we do, I wanted to touch on some NFL news around the league.
Yes, sir.
Ricky Williams pulls up to Dolphins Stadium today, or whatever they call it now, the Dolphins Complex.
He showed up today?
He showed up today in a van, it says, down by the river, ready to resume his NFL career after a 1.5-year suspension if the team wants him.
Okay, let's go smoke that joint.
Do you want...
Really? I didn't know we actually had real audio of Ricky Williams today.
I think that actually was Ricky Williams. I mean, listen.
I look very foolish. That's definitely accurate.
Joey Porter. Right now, I do anything for a victory. Joey Meatloaf Porter signing in here. Joey. I mean, they're 0-9. He wants to bring in a pothead to run the ball. If you're the Dolphins, forget the weed for a minute. Can he still run the football?
He quit on your football team.
Yeah.
He quit on your team. And there is no worse transgression in an NFL locker room than a guy who quits on your team, than a teammate who just quits on you, who just plumb gives up on you. I don't think that until he shows that he has got his thing turned around, his life turned around, if I'm running the Dolphins, I want him nowhere near my football team at this point.
You cut him loose, you trade him off,
you try and get something for him, because I think you can get something for him, whether it's a draft pick or a stopgap player. I think the Dolphins can get something for him. But
bong.
I don't think that it's going to work for Ricky Williams in Miami anymore.
No, I think they've kind of burned bridges there a little too much here.
Yeah.
I think that relationship has run its course.
Yeah.
I understand the team's 0-9 and Ronnie Brown's out for the season. You got to do something, but what do you really have to do?
No.
You're 0-9.
Don't do that.
Now all
don't
of a sudden you got to play to win, and we got to have the best person. They're going to start John Beck at quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't even know who John Beck is.
He was draft pick out of BYU last year.
That's right. He's
supposed to be a decent young quarterback, and this is what they should be doing.
This is a good move, actually.
This is a move that they should be making. They should be looking at the young guys on this roster right now to see if they can play. Guys like John Beck, that makes a lot of sense. It doesn't make sense to bring back a retread like Ricky Williams, who quit on your football team. Get him out of there. If I'm a Dolphins fan, I want absolutely nothing to do with Ricky Williams. I want to trade him somewhere because, they could get something for him, but I don't think it's going to happen for him in Miami.
There are some teams out there that could use help at running back, Christopher.
There are a lot of teams out there who could help.
There's one here in Foxborough that could use some help.
I don't think that would happen.
No, I don't think
it would happen, because people like to say, well, you know, they took the chance on Corey Dillon, and they took the chance on Randy Moss, and they took the chance on those guys. You know, those kind of guys were character guys.
Corey Dillon didn't fail 5,000 drug tests.
Exactly.
I mean,
there's a big difference between those guys and Ricky Williams.
Yeah, I can't get down with that at all.
No.
Ricky Williams coming back to the NFL.
No.
How many chances?
No.
And not only did he quit the team, but he came back and then bombed another drug test.
That's a guy who loves weed more than football. That's a guy who loves weed. I mean, that's a
he
guy
loves
who
his
really
weed.
Loves marijuana.
Then that's when I smoke it.
That's a guy who really loves that stuff, man.
He loves his pot.
He chose that. And you know what? I can respect that. That's the decision that he made. That's the decision he went with. I can respect that. But don't try and come back
to me
now.
You can respect choosing weed over the NFL?
I can respect making that choice, though. He chose powerfully. He made that choice, and he said, that's what I'm going to do. This is what I want to do with my life. But you can't, as Ellis Hobbs might say, you can't be sugarfooting. You can't be half-stepping. You have to be full-on committed.
I like that.
You have to be full-on committed to life in the National Football League, and it's clear right now he isn't committed to life in the National Football League.
Remind me to bring my bottle of Febreze if I hang out with you on a Friday night. I'm going to come home to my wife. She's going to be smelling my clothes for residue. You're unbelievable.
I'm not endorsing it. I'm just saying, hey, that's the choice you want to make in life? Then, hey, that's cool with me. That's your choice.
In other news, the Chicago Bears are bringing Rexy back.
Yes.
The gunslinger, Rex Grossman.
Nothing but good things can happen.
No, this is going to be comedy at its finest. We're going to go with who gives us the best opportunity to win, Lovey Smith says.
You want to turn to Matt Castle in the locker room, because Matt Castle right now is the number two quarterback here in New England. But Matt Castle could be starting for any number of teams in the National Football League at this point. I'm not saying that Matt Castle is a Pro Bowler, but Matt Castle could start for any number of teams in the National Football League.
You sure about that?
And he could start for the Chicago Bears right now. I'm not saying that Matt Castle
he could
is a
physically
great
go out there and start.
He could start, and he could put up better numbers for the Chicago Bears than Brian Griese or Rex Grossman at this point.
That's a good poll question. Could Matt Castle or Rex Grossman put up the better numbers
in Chicago's system? I think what Matt Castle is doing, and again, I'm not saying that Matt Castle should be going to Hawaii, but Matt Castle in that system.
Why not? Why go to Hawaii? You can just go right to Canton.
But in that system, in that Chicago system, I think Matt Castle would be a really good fit.
Let me ask you this. If you're Matt Castle, do you want to start for a crap team, or do you want to be a backup
for
the 9-0 New England Patriots?
Yeah, I think life is okay right
you know what?
For Matt Castle.
I'll hold the clipboard in Arizona. Yeah. I got no problem with that, okay? I mean, I want to play, but, you know, you're choosing weed over football. I might as well choose the bench over football.
That's true.
Why the hell not? Hey, if I'm Matt Castle, stick around here. That's why I think when we go back to the Washington game, Matt Cassel is chugging along in the fourth quarter. It's 800 to nothing, and he doesn't care.
Yep.
He's diving for the pylon.
Yep.
Why? He doesn't want to get shipped out of here. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? You want to get shipped out of here?
He is safe here, man. He's safe. He's the number two quarterback.
I would tie shoelaces here to get a ring.
He's made a career out of being a backup quarterback.
Absolutely.
He's made a very nice living out of being a backup quarterback.
You know, guys have made careers on special teams like Matt Chatham. Remember Matt Chatham when he played a great career on special teams? Why not make a career as a backup?
Yep. He's the Jim Sorge of the New England Patriots.
They're worse than, you could be hosting online radio. There are far worse things to do than be a backup for the New England Patriots.
Hey, before I forget, we should give a shout out to Shalice.
Shalice Manza-Young
from the Providence Journal.
Also, I forgot to give a shout out to Eric Scalavino, my paisano from North Providence, Rhode Island. Good to see him in today. He knows how things roll in the streets of North Providence. Good to see Eric again. I miss Eric on Sundays, except for home games. there's so much going on today in the NFL, Chris, and we touched on the AFC East a little bit. What's going on in the Jets world? Nothing's going on in the Jets world.
Nothing is going on in the world of the Jets.
They're
crossing days off the calendar until the end of the season. If you're a New York Jets fan at this point.
There's a lot going on in Indianapolis. Dwight Freeney out for the year. Simeon Rice coming in.
That's huge.
Now, I read on ESPN.com, I don't know who wrote the column, I forget. He says, well, let's not get too carried away. They could still get... I don't see it.
No.
And it's not so much losing Freeney to me, Chris. It's the repercussions. You're going to lose the first round bye. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to be the three seed, possibly. So now what's going to happen? You're going to go on the road. Now you're going to have to come here and win an AFC title game to go to the Super Bowl?
That's tough.
It's not going to happen.
Without Freeney.
Without Harrison. Who knows when he's going
to
come back.
I think Freeney, not so much stat-wise, but I think for what Freeney does for that defense is a lot like Richard Seymour in the sense where, again, like you said, it's a domino effect. Where
Absolutely.
If you lose one guy, you get a little weaker here, and then you get a little weaker at that position because you have to cover up for the first position. And then, you know, like you said, you have to go on the road. You're number three. So it starts this chain of events for the Colts where they have to go out and pick up a guy off the street and Simeon Rice, who's clearly not the Simeon Rice of old.
No.
It's not a good situation right now if you're a Colts fan.
No, Rice can't play as many snaps as Freeney can per game. He's a situational pass rusher, might do a decent job here and there. But Freeney's a full-time guy who I think maybe not as much as Bob Sanders, but is a real heart and soul kind of player of that defense.
He really is.
I mean, he generates the bulk of the pass rush.
He really does. And if you don't get that same level of pass rush, you have to do a little more things in the second. You have to do a few more things in the secondary to disguise that. And then you have to take away from the second. And it's a sliding scale at this point if you're the Colts on defense, who don't have a lot of wiggle room to begin with.
No.
I mean, this is not a team that has a wide margin for error on the defensive side of the football. If you lose a guy here or there, you know, you're going to have to do some patching. You're going to have to do some patching pretty quickly. I'm not so sure getting a guy like Simeon Rice is such a good idea.
Though there are two things we should mention. Number one, they put in Booger McFarland last year when Corey Simon ate himself out of the NFL, and he did pretty well.
He did.
And even despite his job in the regular season, they went into the postseason and nobody gave him a chance to win.
A lot of that, though, was around Bob Sanders. I think it's still around Bob Sanders. I mean, we talked about heart and soul of a defense, and Freeney's very, very good. And there are certain things that they're going to have to do to adjust to life without Dwight Freeney, but at the same time, if you lose Bob Sanders, well, then that whole thing kind of goes downhill a little quickly.
You might as well start John Beck at quarterback
if you lose
Bob Sanders or Jim Sorge. Is he still the backup in Indianapolis?
Jim Sorge is still the backup in Indianapolis. Sorge? I'm never sure.
I'm a soft G kind of guy.
I'm
a hard G.
I didn't want to say anything.
Yeah. We've got some great locker room audio coming up with Gary Gradecki. And who do we have here today? This is from this afternoon. Ellis Hobbs, everybody's favorite. Lawrence Maroney, Junior Seau, Rodney Harrison, and Heath Evans. So we're going to kick it over to Gary Gradecki for some great audio from this afternoon in the New England Patriot locker room. Gary, take us away.
You're seeing now, how much different is this team? I mean, I know they've won some games, but from what you see on tape, how much different is this team?
I don't think they're that much different as far as, their playing style and their habits. I think they just got a couple bad breaks, in the beginning of the season where things weren't going their way. I think they've done a good job of consistently going out there playing with great effort. And what you're seeing now is their game plan and the execution of the game plan kind of coming alive, and it's allowing them to win these games.
From your perspective, seeing Evans, has he improved his numbers, and he seems to be an improved player?
I don't think he's an improved player. I think they're just getting the ball to him now. early part of the season, they weren't doing a well enough job, I think, you know, trying to get the ball to him or getting him in situations so that he can get the ball. Now that they're doing that with Losman at quarterback and things, I think they're doing a pretty good job. So it's not that much of an improvement, more as him just getting somewhere around the ball.
So how dangerous is he now?
He's very dangerous. He's a fast receiver. Great hands. He's been in situations where he's been blanketed and still able to make the catch. And, you know, he's just a good player overall.
They got a pretty good special teams unit as a fellow special teamer. What stands out for you the most about that team?
I think their effort. You know, the main thing on special teams is effort, giving great effort all the time, all around. You know, you got bigger guys on that team. You might have smaller guys, whatever, but in the end, the biggest thing is effort, and that's the thing that I see most on the film.
Might be some snow up there in Buffalo anytime. You like playing in the snow? Or?
Nothing new. Yes. Not enthused, but hey, yeah, it is what it is, man. So you better get over it. So, oh well. I can't stand it, but hey, oh well. All right, fella.
Yeah, thanks.
Your commercial, Mark. Lawrence Maroney.
Your commercial, the one you did this summer. That's not on, Mark.
Well, why don't you call Reebok and find out?
Well, I want to know. Is it in a contract? You got to do something about that. I want to see the commercial.
Make sure my phone don't go off. Y'all phones off?
Yes.
Y'all phones off?
Vibrant.
I'm telling you, let me hear it ring. Mess up the interview. Don't get my lockers kind of junky now. I don't want nobody to think that's how I live. Come on now. I'm awake. You don't got to rush.
The weather's turning cold. Does this mean it's going to be your time a little bit?
I don't know what it means, you know, but, you know, when you playing football growing up, you know, when the weather starts getting nasty, more so the rain, you run the ball. So, you know, if let's see if this is the same philosophy in the NFL.
Do you look forward to that time? Do you look forward to when it's sloppy?
I think them games be fun, you know, messy fields, you know, tractions and all that stuff. I think them be the best games.
Why do you think this team, I know you've only been here a year and a half, why do you think this team is so good in the cold and has been traditional?
Because we practice in it every day. No, I don't know. You know, I think this team's just going to be good no matter what weather we play in.
Well, aren't you kind of frustrated by the fact you haven't gotten the end zone?
Mm-mm. Yeah, you know, I mean, you see the victories we have, you know. I can't be upset. You know, as long as we're winning, I'm happy. You know, even though I ain't reached the end zone, everybody want to reach the end zone. You know, I feel like my time is coming sooner than later, you know. But as long as we keep winning, I don't care if I never make it to the end zone.
Lawrence, do you like being the bad guy, being the big bully on the block, the team that everyone hates and despises, envies?
I wouldn't say we're the bad guys, but, you know, it is fun being us. You know, you see how many people that always want to talk about us and say this about us and say that, you know. It's kind of funny.
What's the level of confidence on this team right
now? The confidence is still where it need to be. You know, we still know we got to come in, game out, and play our best football, especially the second half. We got a lot of football left, and we know we just got to play our A game.
Where are you at physically? Are you 100%? Are you ready to take the ball the rest of the
day? I'm feeling good. You know, I'm definitely feeling good. I felt like the bye week was well needed, you know, give my body a chance to rest and to get back to normal, you know, so I'm feeling good about myself right now.
You guys, of course, take it one game at a time, and you concentrate on the corner to hand, but do you understand the national hype and why the national media and everybody's excited about this team?
Not really. I think they're putting too much emphasis on us. You know, okay, we 9-0, but, you know, we still got a second half of the season left, so we ain't did nothing special yet.
Do you feel like you guys are set running back, or, you know, how would you feel if they brought somebody else in, like Corey?
And you going to make sure you put, like, Corey, huh? Corey Dillon?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I think I'd be happy. It'd be back to the old ways, me and the big fella. Just playing around like always. Would y'all like to see him back in here? Oh, make sure he don't see this. I ain't going to tell nobody names, but one of the reporters don't like you see this. No, I wouldn't be upset. You know, like I said, I've been in the two-back system my whole college career. You know, I felt like it worked out fine. You know, it takes a lot of pressure off both running backs and still gives you a chance to stay fresh.
Yeah,
most definitely. Most definitely. They still find ways to work us around, like me, Kevin Heath, you know, Echo. You know, they find a lot of ways to put us in different positions. Whew, that sound getting hot.
Junior Sal.
It comes down to tackling, going out there and doing what we've been doing for the last nine weeks and really staying focused. But, you know, the weather's probably cold and rainy or what have you, but the fact here is still football. You know, you have a helmet and, you know, you could dry off afterwards.
Junior, is there a reason why some teams are better playing in cold weather than others?
I don't know. I don't have that answer. I mean, you're going to have to go back and get the track record on that. But, you know, the game of football is played between the lines. It's not like they have an umbrella over their heads. So it's pretty much even.
A lot of times, for any other team, this would be a trap. Your offense would be everybody's telling how great you are. You don't know if Lynch is going to play or not. What sets this team apart from ever falling into any of them?
You just got to stay humble and go out there and stay hungry. You know, we're nine games into the season. It's still early yet. A lot of teams are going to be making a push right now, and we understand that. But as far as going out there and having a trap game, a team's not going to beat us because we're complacent. I guarantee you that. They're going to beat us because they're better than us. And if that's called a trap game, then, you know, call us whatever you want. But that won't happen, you know. This game is just, there's just too much involved in the game of football to call it a trap game, especially with the vets in this locker room.
Jim, you've been on a Super Bowl team. You've been to the top. A lot of teams look at you all as maybe the big bully and stuff like that. Do you feel like a lot of teams are looking at you all as far as the hated team, the big guys? How big is the bull's on you?
Well, we're not one of the most favorite teams. I mean, obviously with the word out. But as far as that goes, I mean, winning takes care of everything, and we understand that. And the only way we can do that is by positioning ourselves during the week to go out there on Sunday and put out a good performance. And everything else will take care of itself.
Junior, you saw Buffalo early in the season. You see them now. What is their level of improvement from what you see? How much different a team are they now versus what you saw earlier?
Well, they're healthier. You know, they're a lot healthier than when the first time around came about. And, you know, the running game, you know, with Lynch, he feels a lot more comfortable with everything there. And the offensive line's doing a great job of blocking for him with the zone blocking. And Lozman's now getting healthy, and he's in there throwing the ball, running around like he normally does. But their defense is playing very well.
Ronnie Harrison.
Ronnie, is there a particular reason why some teams play better in cold weather than others?
Any particular
historically,
reason?
I mean, there's a lot of teams, Tampa or Miami, they don't play very well in cold weather.
Probably not used to it. I mean, it's definitely an adjustment when, you know, you come out here and if you're used to 70, 80-degree weather and all of a sudden you have to play in a cold, it's definitely, I think it's more of a mental adjustment because, you know, eventually, physically, you can get used to it, but I think the mental adjustment is the thing that people struggle with.
You guys saw Buffalo early in the year. What's your level of improvement between then and now? How much different a team are they now versus what they were earlier?
Well, they're a lot better team now. They're playing with a lot of confidence. I said it before, they could easily be 7-2 instead of 5-4. They could have beat the Cowboys. They should have beat the Cowboys. And they definitely should have beat Denver. They lost in the last seconds with a field goal. So they're playing with a lot of confidence. The run game is taking off. The quarterback play has improved. And they're very physical on defense, so they're fast, they're physical, and they're playing with a lot more confidence.
From your specific look in terms of what you'll be trying to defend against for the most part, Evans, how good is he now? And he's a different player now than he was earlier.
Yeah, he is. They're getting him the ball. He's definitely the go-to guy. I mean, he's catching the ball in traffic. He's catching the ball down the field. You know, he has ability to adjust to the ball when it's up in the air, and he's very, very fast. So he's definitely a problem to deal with and somebody we definitely have to pay close attention to.
Ron, you guys have been talking about so much, and a lot of people talk about the fact that you guys are the big bullies, the hated team. Do you embrace everybody else's envy?
We don't care. We don't really pay attention to what everyone else thinks or what they're saying about us. It's just another game. You know, 9-0 right now, that's good, but we still have a lot of football left. And like Tom said before, the football now, football really starts now, you know what I'm saying, in November and December, and you just got to keep it going.
Has Jim kind of made the leap from young player to emerging young veteran?
James Sanders?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely improved a lot since his rookie year. Very, very intelligent guy, worked extremely hard. in the offseason, which really helped improve his game. And I think right now James is playing with a lot of confidence. So it's good to see a young emerging guy come on and really provide us with good leadership and just a constant, consistent work ethic.
You mentioned the confidence. I've even noticed that just in the locker room. I mean, you think that's, you know, what's happening on the field is transferring into the locker room in terms of his confidence?
Yeah, I mean, I think it starts, you know, it starts obviously in the classroom, right into the weight room and onto the field, which, you know, you'll start seeing a result on the field on Sunday, and that's what's been going on. James is, you know, he's finally comfortable out there. He knows exactly what he has to do, and he's playing with a lot of confidence.
How much do you like being in this position, having everybody ready?
I mean, we're gunning for them just as well. It's not about them gunning for us. I mean, we're not going to stand back and just let people attack us. We're going for them, too. You know, right now, this is the second half of the season. We're 0-0 right now, so it really doesn't matter what went on the first nine games. It's all about what's going on now, and we'll be ready Sunday night.
Heath Evans.
I guess you get used to it, you know. It's a circumstance, you know, so I think people deal with them differently. I think we're trained in such a way here that they don't really bother us. So we practice in them daily, and so it kind of just becomes second nature.
All of your games the rest of the year at Northeast, do you feel like this is sort of your time being here as a team when it gets sloppy and cold? You can use the elements to your advantage.
You know, I hope so, but I know there's a lot of coaches out there that are telling their players the same thing that Coach Belichick tells us, which, you know, it's just weather. It's just another circumstance to deal with. It's like picking up a blitz. If you're prepared for it, then you'll get it done. If you're not, then it might affect you.
Now, could you be prepared for it when you're with the Dolphins when you never played in it except twice a year?
You know, in college was my first time playing in cold, and it never really affected me. You know, I think it's more of a mental mindset. You know, I think you have mentally tough people and mentally weak people, and most people in this league are mentally tough.
Bills have won four straight games. How much better are they now than in your first meeting?
Quite a bit. You know, you watch our first game, you know, the first half was totally different than the second half. You know, we were lucky to go in at halftime with a lead. And now looking back on that game from this perspective, they were a good team then, and we just had some good plays that we kind of got lucky to jump so far ahead. So we've got our hands full.
They're playing their second primetime game. They really, the crowd is pretty fired up for that game against the Cowboys. I'm sure you guys know.
I remember watching it a few weeks back and just remembering hearing the roar just off the TV. So it's definitely something we're going to have to handle and handle well if we want to be successful.
Keith, I know you guys take one game at a time. You have to push ahead. But do you understand the national hype, the national perspective, why there's a lot of focus on you guys?
Well, yeah, I don't. We're not dummies, you know. I mean, we're excited about winning football games, you know, and like you said, it's definitely one at a time, and that's the way we're trained to think, and it's easy to think that way when you have a division opponent like the Bills coming up.
I feel like that bullseye on your back is getting a little bigger as the season goes on?
You know, I don't really think that's our approach, you know. I think we want to win, and I think there's kind of a desperation around here to win. We love it so much. You get a taste of it, and we're trained mentally, physically, emotionally to achieve that goal in a certain way every single week. So we kind of, it's just easy to kind of go about it like it's second nature. You come in Monday, do your work. Tuesday, take it off. Wednesday, Thursday are always the same, and Friday, kind of dust it off and get ready to go. So bullseye, I don't know.
How would you said, you know, somebody asked him to be a trap game or something like this.
It definitely not. I mean, you guys, he hit it on the head. You got guys like 55 walking around here and 12 on our side of the ball. There's too much leadership, but there's too great of coaching here to allow that to happen. There's not a, if you're complacent, you're not going to be here very long.
What kind of progress have you seen in Maroney? You've been here with him both years. How is he different this year as a person, maybe, and as a runner?
You know, running wise, you know, I'll probably let the coaches comment on that. But mentally, you know, you just see him answer things different in meeting times. You know, you see him pick up different things that you wouldn't expect a rookie to pick up last year. So, you know, from my time with him in our personal setting with the running backs, I've seen him mentally grow quite a bit.
How dangerous can he be when he gets the opportunity? I mean, he's shifty. So, I mean, if he ever gets a chance.
Well, this time of year, hopefully he's not going to be being too shifty. He just needs to get his big 220-pound frame downhill and let people feel the power that he can bring.
Mm.
No, because this team's not about touchdowns, you know. I've been our goal line back, you know, all year. I've got one, so I don't think, you know, really when it comes down to it, it's about touchdowns. I mean, everyone likes to score touchdowns, but we're winning games mostly by a large margin, and that excites us, and we want to keep that track record up. So no matter who's getting in, we just want to get in and get in frequently.
Do you think this team's running game is sort of underrated, perhaps overshadowed by the passing attack?
You know, I don't know. Coach, the Bills might be a good person to ask. You know, I don't think so. You know, I think we do what we're asked to do, and I think those are the things that, as a family group in here, we don't really pay much attention to, in the sense of who's getting the praise, who's getting the honor, who's getting the glory. We know as a core group, we're getting the job done. Yeah, I guess that's coming up here in about 2 weeks. Definitely an award I don't feel deserving of. I think it has something to do with character. Obviously, they don't know me too well. But, you know, it's definitely an honor.
All right, folks, welcome back to Patriot Playbook. You just heard from some of these stars in New England's locker room, Ellis Hobbs, Lawrence Maroney, cackling in the background for Heath Evans as well, Junior Seau and Rodney Harrison all chiming in from today. And I want to remind people to email us at webradio@patriots.com or give us a call, 508-543-7482. We did get an interesting email during the crossover, Chris, and this guy is targeting you.
Take that.
Bill from Los Angeles says, in regard...
A great question, by the way. It's a great question.
In regards to Ricky Williams, he says, if turning your back on your team and walking out the door makes you poison for the rest of your NFL career, then the Pats wouldn't be in the outstanding position they are currently in. When Robert Kraft was looking for a new head coach and he had the good sense and good fortune to hire Bill Belichick, remember that the reason Belichick was available was because on his very first day as the new head coach of the Jets, he used his first press conference to announce his resignation and walked out on the Jets and went home unemployed.
Okay, two things.
Okay.
First off, like I said, it's a great email and a great question.
It's a very good question.
And a comparable situation. First off, though, he's not a player.
Mm-hmm.
It's different for players and coaches. It's just different. I'm not sure I can explain it. I'm not sure I would know enough. I could put it in the proper terminology.
Well, I think you know what it is? I think you go to war every week with those 53 players
exactly.
in the trenches.
Exactly.
Not so much with the coaches.
Different relationship. It's a different relationship, a coach to player as opposed to a player to player.
Yeah.
And it's a very different relationship. Secondly, he was only in that job for a day.
Mm-hmm.
It would be different. I would think you would have more of a point if he was in that job for a year or 2 years or even 6 months, quite frankly. So those two situations, I think, make it completely different. Also, Bill Belichick didn't turn his back on his job for weed. there's that too. So, you know, that's worth throwing in there. But it's a great question, and it's a comparable situation, but I think it's a little bit of a different kind of a circumstance.
I want to touch on a few things we heard from some of the comments in the locker room today. We heard Lawrence Maroney, and he did make a good point about how he did employ the two-back system during college,
mm-hmm.
sharing time with Marion Barber at Minnesota. And I wonder, New England's first draft pick this year is a pick from San Francisco.
Which is probably going to be a top five pick.
Now, what do you do with that? I know it's early to talk about that, but are you looking to bring back the two-back system here?
I think a lot of that will depend on, and I've heard a lot of people say, well, if Darren McFadden's there, maybe the Patriots should think about going out and grabbing Darren McFadden. I think a lot of that would hinge on Sammy Morris's health. I think if Sammy Morris, for the long term, was not going to come back, if that chest injury, most likely a collarbone injury, was as bad as they think it is, you know, he may not come back. He may have played his last game in a New England uniform. In that case, maybe you think about going out and getting a running back with that pick. I think what they are going to do, they do have that pick. It's probably going to be a top five pick. History tells us they don't really like to make a big splash like that. They'll probably trade down.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did that either.
And get a boatload of picks and maybe a player or two along the way. The whole Darren McFadden thing would be interesting. It's my personal feeling. I don't know if Lawrence Maroney has what it takes to be a number one feature back in the NFL.
We haven't seen
not
it yet.
Anyway.
We have to see more. We have to see him on the field.
Yeah. He has not been the number one guy. He has not been the man in the backfield since he was in high school. You know, he's shared carries all throughout college, shared carries last year with Corey Dillon. We haven't seen enough of him going forward to know if he's going to be, if he has the stuff, the stones, to be a number one, a featured back in the National Football League.
Well, here's the thing. You could say, let's give him another year. But in another year, you may not have a top five pick.
That's true.
Like you're going to have this year.
Yep.
Now, depending on what you think of the class, what Belichick and his coaching staff and his advisors think of the draft class, they may lean toward that. I'm not so sure. Also today, Chris, we heard from Junior Seau and Heath Evans talking about the conditions in Buffalo this weekend, which are going to be cold. This team's used to cold.
It's going to be nasty. It's going to be cold. It's probably going to be a little bit wet. Wouldn't be surprised, apparently, if there was a little bit of snow on the field. I think all that plays into what we were talking about before, that you know, you get kind of a weird, funky situation, and, you know, a ball bounces a weird way, and I think that would play into Buffalo's favor. Belichick talked about it today, that it's still, even though they put field turf in there a couple of years ago, it's still a very slippery surface up there. It's not a traditional field type of surface, which, you know, with a you know, kind of a true bounce. But it'll be interesting to see if the Patriots will be able to succeed in that cold weather. History shows that they've had no problem with it in the past.
I mean, they did play a 3-degree game here against the Titans in the playoffs,
which was still one of the coldest experiences of my entire life.
And we weren't even outside.
Yeah, we were inside, and I was
walking from the car to the press box entrance, my face froze.
I can only imagine what it was like sitting out there if you were a fan on that cold January evening. That was absolutely brutal. And again, we were just walking from our car to the press box.
Bob from California just dropped the ether on Chris Price again.
Oh!
Bob writes back, I'm no fan of Ricky Williams, but another counterexample to your argument, in addition to Belichick, is Randy Moss.
Nah.
He got you. Bob says, didn't Randy walk off the field and abandon his teammates in Oakland?
Yep. And that's no, you know what? Was that in Oakland, or was that when he was in
Minnesota? Don't try to turn the subject. Walked off the field. You know it. We all know it.
I'm trying to think if that was in Oakland or Minnesota. If it was in Minnesota. I know it was toward the end of his.
That was Minnesota,
and that was toward the end of his
time
in Minnesota.
That's still 52 men he abandoned, Chris.
That was still 52 men he abandoned.
He just happened to wear purple instead of black and gray.
He turned it around. And, you know, both on and off the record around here this year, everyone has said to a man that Randy Moss has not been an issue. Randy Moss has not been a problem.
Well, you know what?
And again, and I said this. I said, look, you know, it's maybe it takes a new start. I said, you know, it's not going to happen for Ricky Williams in Miami. And so maybe Ricky Williams needs to be traded to Denver or Detroit or Green Bay or wherever he needs to go. He needs to get a fresh start. It worked for Randy Moss. There's no reason to think that it wouldn't work for Ricky Williams.
Two things here. That email was not from Bill in California. This was from Bob in California. Oh. So Bob is on Bill's side. And you know what? So am I. Bring in Ricky Williams.
You think Ricky Williams?
Bring in
here.
Ricky Williams.
Ricky Williams here in New England.
These guys convinced me. I actually agree with them.
Ricky Williams.
If you bring in Randy Moss, who walked off the field before a game ended, why the hell not? Why not Ricky Williams?
I don't see it with Ricky Williams.
What have you got to lose?
I don't see it with Ricky
Williams. He's not going to poison the clubhouse.
You never know.
You never know. There's too many guys in football to poison
the clubhouse. One of the things that always amazed me or has amazed me about Belichick's team-building technique is it really mirrors – we always talk about how Belichick is a disciple of Bill Parcells.
Yes.
Belichick actually owes more of his team-building technique style to Bill Walsh. And one of the most important things that Bill Walsh did was create a locker room infrastructure where you could go out and take chances on guys. Where you could go out and get, even though he had gone by this point, you could still go out and get a Deion Sanders or a Ricky Waters. And you had enough guys in that locker room to create this infrastructure, to kind of police themselves. Now, the Patriots have created much the same environment. That's how Corey Dillon, that's how Randy Moss, that's how guys like that have been able to survive and even thrive here in Foxborough. I don't know if that would happen with Ricky Williams. I don't know.
For more of that infrastructure, pick up the blueprint.
How
the New England Patriots beat the system to create the last great NFL superpower. That is a new book by Chris Price, Chris Hollywood Price. Pick it up at bookstores everywhere.
Nice.
That's cute. David from Virginia.
Amazon.com, all over the
Amazon.
place.
Amazon.com. We got an email from David in Virginia who says, Ricky might be good for Bill. I'm not sure what that means, on or off the field. I think I know where Dave is going with that one. You sly devil, Dave.
Dave knows stuff. Dave's done a little research.
Come on, Dave. Hey, I want to touch on something else, too, Chris. I was blogging this afternoon, or reading blogs, I should say, and I read the Boston Herald blog. Our friend John Tomase had an interesting post from John Madden on a conference call. It says the Pats will get beaten by somebody.
Yes.
Okay? Yep. And what he says, that's going to be a dilemma for them. And he's talking about if you clinch everything, you want to rest guys.
I mean, he was thinking, okay, we get the extra. Whoa, what happened? You know, go on in. You know.
And Madden says, Madden asked the question, do you go for the all-time record or do you go for the championship? In my mind, you always go for the championship. I say, can't you go for both?
That's, see, it's tough.
Well, because,
this is what we were talking about before, where if the Patriots, I think one of the best things to help the Patriots in this situation would have been if the Colts were still had one loss and were still behind
that's
them
true.
And were
yeah.
still pushing them. In that context, if the Patriots were still going for, you know, home field advantage and needing to clinch home field and needing to put as much separation between themselves and the Colts, I think, you know, heading into those last 2 weeks, the last 3 weeks, I think it would have been in their best interest to keep their foot on the gas pedal, to keep going for that undefeated record. At this point, I don't know. You said that Belichick, you know, fan of history, he gets all revved up about that kind of stuff. He would realize how important this is historically. I'm not so sure about that anymore. I'm not saying he would sacrifice his playoff future for it. I go back and forth on this. I really do, because it will take just one renegade linebacker to knock this whole thing off its wheels, knock the whole thing off the track.
I understand that, but I don't think going for it is sacrificing your postseason future. I don't think it's one and the same. Well, they clearly don't care about the Super Bowl because they want to go 16-0. Listen, they want to win the Super Bowl as much as anybody, if not more. They also would love to do this. I really firmly believe they would love to do this if they are 15-0. And Tiki Barber, my pal,
your pal Tiki,
agrees with me. And Tiki Barber says, and I quote, "I think the Pats are going to run the table. They're special. Without a doubt, they're the best team I've ever seen. And Eli Manning is a pacey white doofus who can't run the 2-minute drill." I added that last part in. I'm sorry.
I don't remember that last part. I don't remember that last
part
where
Tiki
talked
was
about
thinking,
Peyton Manning,
though. That's
or
what
Eli
Tiki
Manning.
Thinks. Tiki and Eli, not eye to eye.
Not so much.
We got another email again, by the way, in response to our discussion about the conditions.
Williams.
No, the conditions in the Tennessee game. Scott from Washington says, "Fellas, I was at the Patriots Titans playoff game sitting in the stands and it was incredibly cold."
That's Scott, right?
Yeah.
That's Scott. You get a round of applause for me. I was terrified sitting in the press box.
I wouldn't have the guts to do it. I give Scott a lot of credit. Scott also goes on to say, "Before the game, our bears at the tailgate were freezing in their bottles." Can you imagine that? "Our digital cameras were getting blurry and our cell phones were having trouble bringing up their screens. We could barely feel a thing. The smartest people I saw in the stands were the ones who brought sleeping bags. They would put the bags on the ground, step into them, then sit down while pulling up the insulated sleeping bags around them. I was jealous of them. I can't imagine what it felt for Adam to kick the ball that night. It was something else." Scott also says he's going to the game in Buffalo this weekend and hopes it won't be that cold. I don't think you have to worry about that.
I don't think it'll ever be that cold ever
again. Ever
again.
That was unbelievable. I think everybody who came to the game that night should have gotten like some kind of prize.
That was amazing. That was amazing. It was a great night. It was a great night of football. It was a great football
game
too, if you remember correctly. The Titans almost came back and won that game. But that was a horrible, horrible night weather-wise.
Who was it that dropped the pass on that final drive?
I think it was Drew Bennett.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was Drew Bennett.
Titan fans will see Drew Bennett in hell.
What might have been.
Because they would have been pretty close to field goal range, I think, if he had caught that pass.
Yeah, but again, kicking that night was absolutely awful. So it wouldn't have been a chip shot, I'll put it that way.
I agree, Chris. You're probably right. We're going to take a break and come back in just a second. We're going to send it over to Gary Gradecki. We're going to come back more on the other side with some more locker room and some more audio and some more talk. Join us for Patriots Playbook.
He's been a 3-time champion, 2-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
3 touchdown passes in the first half.
Now Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph, perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything. Yeah, let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go Pats!
And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
When you got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Miles and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Stay. Welcome back to Patriot Playbook. I am your guest host, Mike Parenti, alongside famed author Chris Price and sports editor of Boston Metro.
That's awesome, by the way. That's
that is
and they,
great,
they were playing
great
that
call
night,
by Gary Gredecky tonight.
That was absolutely fantastic. We're just talking about the divisional playoff game between the Patriots and the Titans back in 2003 and just how cold it was outside that night.
And our buddy Scott emails us back and says, thanks for the round of applause, but it should go to my father who went to that Patriots-Titans game with me, and he's 60.
That was awesome. That was just
good job, Scott.
Great atmosphere for football.
I love
absolutely
it.
Absolutely incredibly cold, but just an unbelievable atmosphere for football.
It was better when I had the fireplace image up on the ProVision and played
Summer
Wind.
That was great.
That was great.
Very good. Gary stole the show that night.
That was the best.
Just to remind people, a little bit of a programming note, we're also going to have a couple more audio segments for you before we sign off. We're going to have J.P. Lossman, Bill's quarterback this week, and we're also going to have head coach Dick Girondi, coach of the year, according to Bill Belichick. And just a reminder, email us, webradio@patriots.com. Give us a call, too. We like to talk to people on the phone. That's 508-543-7482. That's going to be the sound of our phones in about 10 minutes. No one's calling us. No one likes us.
Yeah, I love this talk, though, about this Ricky Williams talk.
This is good stuff.
Has really kind of has energized me. The idea of Ricky Williams coming to New England, I still don't think it's going to work. I still don't think it would work. I don't think that the Patriots, we talked about the Patriots locker room infrastructure, I don't know if they would support something like this. However, I would say this. I wouldn't be shocked at all if they consulted with some of the key people in that locker room if or when they decided to go after Ricky.
Well, that's why I have captains. Those are the guys you got to go to and say, listen, is this going to work? Is this going to fly? Can we bring this guy in? Can we give it a shot? And I'm being kind of facetious when I say bring him in. I'm just trying to take the opposite side.
Yeah.
Because I do like the point that the email has made about Randy Moss, and I think it's a very good comparison. However, my main beef with Ricky Williams is I don't think he can play anymore.
No.
I don't think he's got much left in the tank. I don't know what he's been doing outside of the NFL to keep himself in shape. I don't know if he's got much left.
He was up north. He was in the Canadian Football
League. Well, he's playing in the CFL. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go smoke that joint.
I mean, how old?
He really didn't light it up north of the border.
Oh, not on the field.
No. There you go. No, if he had been a stud, if he had put up absolutely sick numbers in Canada, then you could have said, well, you know what, maybe that would make a lot of sense for, you know, to think about bringing him in. But he didn't even do that well up north. So,
well, I mean,
I don't know what he's gained by bringing, if you have a chance to bring Ricky Williams in here, I don't know what is gained by bringing him in.
He's also 30 years old, which is the magic number for running backs, if you ask Corey Dillon. I'm sure he'd agree with you. But all kidding aside, he's played 7 years, and he's got some miles on those tires right now.
Oh, yeah.
Say, you know, all right.
I think if
his real name, by the way, Eric Lynn Williams. Did you know that?
I did not know
and
that.
And there's two R's in Eric and two N's in Lynn.
I did not know that.
So where does – oh, Eric, Ricky.
There you go.
Right. That took 2 minutes. I'm
now,
sorry.
Now, if the Patriots think that their running back situation is set going forward, if Sammy Morris can come back to full strength next year, you have Heath Evans, you have Kevin Falk, you don't try to put too much on Lawrence Maroney's shoulders, you have him split carries in a sense with Sammy Morris, then I think going forward, I think you're in very good shape.
I'm impressed with what Morris did before he got hurt, but I'll be honest, at the beginning of the season, I thought he was just going to be – another guy.
Yeah.
I really did not expect that much. He really surprised me. Maybe I underestimated him, which is probably fair to say. I don't know going forward if he's the guy I want to keep.
Oh, no, no. Well, I mean, going forward, he's not going to be your number one.
No.
But he's not going to be your stud.
But
I mean,
do you want that two-back system? Are you looking to split it down the middle?
Well, with the exception of 1 year, ever since Belichick has been here, he's split it down the middle.
Yeah.
You look at the numbers. You can go all the way back to Antoine Smith. Antoine Smith, you know, had one really good year. Actually, I should say 2 years. I'm sorry. Antoine Smith had one good year as a feature back. Corey Dillon had one good year as a feature back. The rest of those years, it was kind of a makeshift backfield where you had two or three guys really chipping in. So who knows? Who knows going forward? But I think if they think Sammy Morris is good enough to come back next year full strength, you don't have him as your number one, but you continue with this two-back system.
I mean, if I want to go forward with a two-back system, then I would want to draft somebody else. I really would, and I would really consider that. Bringing in another young, talented back, maybe somebody with complementary skills, but somebody who could also offer a change of pace, which may be hard to find. It's a lot easier said than done. And I'll be honest, I haven't looked too much at the next year's draft class. You know, in week 10 of the NFL season, I haven't really thought about that too much. But I give it a shot. I start thinking about that going forward. It's not going to be Morris and Falk. Mm-hmm. As much as Falk has done and as great as he's been, you know, he's on the back end here.
Yeah,
he's obviously much closer to the end than he is to the beginning.
Yes.
And the same thing goes for Morris. And Heath Evans is obviously, you know, he's a goal line guy. He's not going to be a secondary running back.
He's not going to rush for 85 yards
a game.
He's not
1A
yeah.
after your number one.
He's a situational running back. Both Evans and Falk at this point in their careers, you can make a point. You could say they're both situational running backs.
Yeah.
You know, they're very much, you know, they have their job. They're very, very good at their job. And if you ask them to do too much, you get them out of that comfort zone, then I think you're going to have problems. Although the big overarching thing in all this, two things. Ricky Williams and Darren McFadden. You're not going to go out. I don't think that they would go out and draft Darren McFadden if he was available there at number 3, 4, 5. I'll put it that way. That's just not their MO. That doesn't appear to be their MO. I don't think they're going to do that. And I think not much is to be gained if you go out and trade for or acquire Ricky Williams in some form or fashion.
Great email from James in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. It says, hi, guys. I think that if Tom Brady is going to have a chance at the single-season passing touchdown record, he needs to score as many as possible before the weather gets too bad. Even against a bad team, the weather will limit your passing game. I say he needs to throw at least 4 passing touchdowns in the next 2 games. That will give him 41 with 5 games to go, and he will only need to average 2 per game for the rest of the season to get the record. Have a great day. You too, James.
Thanks,
I agree.
James.
That's a very good point because, you know, something, and it goes back to this matchup as well. We talk about the possible awful conditions of Buffalo. The Bills don't even have a running game right now.
That's true.
Now you're going to put all the pressure on J.P. Lossman in terrible weather.
To beat you with his arm.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely almost a ridiculous
turf.
Statement.
Now, but I think his point about Brady is well stated, too. The record, obviously, what, 49?
It's 49.
I always say 49. Yep. So, okay, he wants 8 in the next 2 games to get it to 41 with 5 to go.
8 in the next 2 games might be a lot to ask for, depending on the weather situation. Also, and it's worth bringing up here in this conversation, that the rest of their games are in the Northeast.
Yeah, it's
a very
good point.
They're not traveling to domes or they're not traveling to any warm weather environments. The rest of their games are in the Northeast. And so keeping up that pace in bad weather is going to be very, very difficult.
Yeah, it's
going
to be tough for them to get a lot of records.
Yeah.
The conditions favor them in terms of winning games
because
this is their style of football. But as far as getting some gaudy pass records or Randy Moss going for 20 touchdowns or anything like that, I agree it's going to be tough. You know, also, if Philly comes in next week, you know what? He could get 8 in 2 games.
He could. It could be close.
I think Philly's a mess right now.
Yeah, Philly, I'll say this. They still have McNabb back there who can make a lot of plays.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that that's going to be enough to beat the Patriots, but McNabb is able to do things that other quarterbacks aren't able to do. I think he's one of those guys. He's a better than average quarterback in this league, and I don't think the Patriots have faced a lot of quarterbacks who are better than average so far this season.
Hey, you know what? Ricky Williams would be a good fit in Philly. He could stay at Andy Reid's house, the drug emporium, be right at home. That's not
that
right.
That would seem to make
you
a lot of sense.
You should laugh at that.
I would, no,
you should not
that
laugh
that
at that.
That
would seem
that's to make
funny.
A lot of sense. You know, even a blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while. Mike, that's a really good point.
That was good, wasn't it?
That's a really good point.
But, you know, also the larger point, not just the weather getting bad, but the opponents do get tougher after the next 2 weeks. At Baltimore and then hosting Pittsburgh, two very good defenses, it's going to be hard to really rack up a ton of passing touchdowns against those teams as well.
Some very physical defenses, some very tough, very physical defenses. Like I said before, I think the biggest key for them is going to be staying healthy through that stretch.
Yeah. Yeah, it's ironic this year that they've had pretty good health at the receiver position, other than Troy Brown.
Also.
And Chad Jackson.
Troy Brown, but I think it's even bigger, not so much at the receiver position, but at the defensive back position.
Yeah.
The Pro Football Prospectus, 2007 Pro Football Prospectus. If you don't have one, I suggest you run out and buy one right now. It's a great book, and it breaks down the injury tendencies for defensive backs in the National Football League over the last 5 to 6 years. And the Patriots over the last 5 to 6 years have had the most injured defensive backfield in almost the history of the game. When you look at the number of guys who have gone down, you could go all the way back to guys like Ty Law. You know, Rodney has had his injury issues over the last few years.
Yeah, if you think about it, it makes
sense.
They've
really struggled. Eugene Wilson has had injury issues over the last few years.
He's injured again, yeah.
This is a very difficult position for the Patriots to keep healthy for whatever reason over the last few years. And that's really, for me, more fascinating at this point, that they haven't had a defensive back go down for an extended period of time through 9 games. For, you know, based on their past history, that's nothing short of remarkable.
Good job in the Football Prospectus stuff. I had not known that. I do remember all those injuries, but to put it in perspective and context like that really works out well. And it does go back with the receivers as well. They have had so many injuries and such a hard time keeping 5 guys in the field at once. We've seen some of the names that have floated through here the last 5 or 6 years. You know what, though? If Brady falls off the pace, the Jets are coming to town December 16th. I'm sure they're going to be throwing Hail Marys in the fourth quarter of 55-2.
You can make up a lot of ground when the Jets.
He may break the record that day.
You know what? Honestly, and it's worth mentioning here, that the Patriots' record, single game record for points in a game, is 56 that they set back against the Jets in 1979.
No kidding.
I would be pretty confident that if it's a nice day, that the Patriots are going to break that record when the Jets come in later this year.
They almost broke it against Washington.
Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked at all if they put 60 on the board.
Could you imagine
the hue and cry, the outcry that would come, that would arise out of that game? The one that I want to see, and we're going to get killed in the press for focusing on this, but the scene that I want to see is the post game handshake, even if there is one at this point, because you know what's going to happen.
UFC 71. That's what it's going to look like.
That's going to be fantastic.
Our buddy Dave emails us back and says Tom does not care about the record; he wants the Super Bowl championship. Of course. Also says, that was funny about Philly. So he likes my joke. Okay, you know what? If Dave likes it, then I'm going to make more inappropriate jokes on the radio. I will not hold back.
Dave brings up the perfect point, though. I mean, Brady isn't concerned about it. We talk about records.
That's all for us.
It makes a great storyline for us, but at the same time, it's clear that Brady is not concerned about the record, but at the same time, you know, you start to mention it, your eyebrows start to go up. Hey, you know, he might have 41 after 11 games. You know, you'd only need a handful, you know, to get down the street. So we'll see. But again, that's for us. That's more for us than Brady. Not that Brady's, you know, obsessing over this in the locker room, but it's something that, you know, sports writers like us like to obsess over.
Let's also obsess over some more audio. Let's kick it over to Gary for J.P. Lossman, Buffalo quarterback. He will be starting this Sunday looking for some revenge against the Patriots.
Hello?
Hey, J.P., how are you?
Hold on 1 second. I'll put him on.
False start.
All right, here's J.P. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Hello.
Hey, JP. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, what's up?
JP, I just wanted to start by asking you to just reflect on the first meeting between the two teams, and I know now that you've had some time to look at it, how you view the hit that knocked you out there.
You know what, guys? I don't know. You know, it's just football, and it's a rough game. It's a violent sport. Nobody really wishes for those things to happen. So, you know, it's just kind of how I look at it and view it. It's just a rough game, man, and sometimes those things happen.
I know Vince had said he was trying to reach out to you through maybe some teammates that he knew up there. Did you guys ever connect on that? Did he ever connect with you?
No, that's all right. I mean, I know he didn't mean it. I know it's a tough situation. I'm sure people are giving him a hard time about it, but no, man, there's no hard feelings. Like I said, it's just a rough game.
I'm sorry, you said there were no hard feelings?
Yeah, there's no hard feelings or anything like that. I understand that he was, that's not something that he was trying to do or anything like that.
Is that a change, JP, just on your line of thinking? Because I know after, I thought I had heard you say maybe that the penalty was a little lenient for your liking.
I don't even, going back a little too far, I really don't even know. But as far as something being lenient, the way it was handled, if someone felt that it was dirty and you were going to fine them, and I think the fine was lenient. But if you didn't, then there's no point in fining them if you don't think it was that bad of a thing. That's all I was trying to say.
Did you, sorry to keep rehashing, did you think it was dirty at the time?
No, I did not. I didn't care if it was or not. That's the same answer, basically.
Did sitting out in any way help you? I mean, I know you want to be out there every week. Sometimes when guys have to sit either by a coach's decision or by injury, they say that stepping back and watching the game as a spectator helps them. Did that make any sense for you?
Yeah, to a certain extent, yeah. It does help you. For the most part, you want to be out there and learning, hands-on, So I guess I think what people mean is if I am going to have to sit out for whatever reasons, I might as well take this opportunity to look at the game from a different view and try to learn as much as I can from this view.
JP, as well as New England is playing, is this the kind of challenge you and your teammates look forward to?
We look forward to the challenge. I think every team does as able to play them. They're a great team. Obviously I've been very successful over the last, not just this year, but the last few years. If there's any team that anyone wants to beat, it's this team. But we know we're going to have to play one of our best games. And we're going to be smart with the ball, no turnovers, things like that, to be able to pull this thing out. We're going to need everything we got.
Along those lines, JP, does every team out there want to be the first one to put the L on the Patriots to beat them?
Yeah, I think so. I think everybody going into New England feel that they have a pretty good plan and that they're going to be the one to knock them off, So I think every team feels that way playing them, want to be the spoiler or the first one to do it, of course.
Starting with Kevin Everett's injury and all of the other injuries that your team suffered in the first few weeks of the season, it would have been easy for you guys to just kind of pack it in. How did this team survive and now you've enjoyed a four-game winning streak?
We've just been able to overcome, a lot. Just a tribute to the character of our guys that we have on our team. Not to say we're the only team that's done it. Speaking of New England, they've been able to overcome with injuries and still been able to be successful. So it's just a matter of being a professional and, other guys stepping up, giving opportunities to someone else to go in there and be successful.
Did a lot of it come from the veteran players, the older players, or did it come from the coaching staff or a combination?
It's kind of definitely a combination. We don't really have too many older guys on our team. But as far as that goes, it's definitely a combination of some young guys who are just hungry, itching to get in there, and some veteran leadership type guys who are, just putting in everyone's ear, how much we need to keep this thing going.
JP, you mentioned there's not too many veteran guys. I think you guys are one of the youngest teams in the league by age. This four-game winning streak you have, do you feel like this team is maybe learning how to win?
You could definitely look at it that way. Me personally, learning how to do the things to keep our team winning. What's more important? When can I take my chances? When do I have to take a chance? When do I just need to get the ball out? When do I need to be smart with it? So learning all those things, I think from every position, and me personally, yeah, you definitely learn what it takes to win a game. It doesn't necessarily mean this is going to give me the most yardage on this play or not. It's actually the best play for our team. So I think all the way around the board, you definitely learn how to do that.
All right. Welcome back to Patriots Playbook with Mike Parenti and Chris Price. We just heard from Bills quarterback J.P. Lossman, who I think sounds a little bit like John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever.
Just a little bit.
I work hard on my hair.
He hits my hair.
He hits my hair.
I work out of my hair and he hits it.
You got that soft-spoken voice. But some pretty interesting comments about Vince Wilfork and what he thought of the suspension. Fine.
He kind of backpedaled a little bit on that, which I thought was interesting.
Smart.
Yeah, they're going to be asking an awful lot of Losman, you know, without Marshawn Lynch in this game. I think a lot of this game is going to be put on his shoulders, and I don't think he has what it takes to overcome the Patriots. I think, again, we've talked about this. The Bills are a young team, and they're headed in the right direction. They're doing a lot of good things. They after starting year 0-3 with the start that they had with what happened to Everett and all of that stuff, they've been able to rebound. They've been able to put together some pretty good football over the last few weeks, put together a winning streak. But at the same time, I don't know if it's going to be enough to get it done this Sunday against the Patriots.
I mean, it's an interesting story. At 5-4, they're one game. Actually, they're tied for a wild card spot with Cleveland. Cleveland's 5-4. Jacksonville is 6-3 among the second place teams. Now, I don't know if Buffalo's played Cleveland. I don't think so. No. So I think they do play them, though, down the stretch. Mm-hmm. So like I said, Buffalo has some opportunities, just a couple of wins here and there, to get tiebreakers. And then once you do that, you have your destiny in your own hands.
Well, Belichick brought up a good point this week. They're literally two last second plays away from being 7-2. And that's not a phony 7-2, but then Geron, you'll hear the audio later, Geron said, you know, we're only this close to being 0-9 at the same time. So it's a fine line to walk here in the National Football League.
Yes, December 16th at Cleveland. Look at the rest of Buffalo's schedule. They host New England at Jacksonville, which is one of those wild card teams as well, at Washington, hosting Miami for the second time, or playing Miami for the second time, rather. They're hosting them this time. They get the Giants, and they get Philadelphia.
That's a team that could put together 9 wins.
They could conceivably do that.
They could win 9 games, and that should be enough to get you into the postseason, especially if you win that Cleveland game. That should be enough to put you over the top and get you that last wild card spot, which would have been inconceivable to even talk about, you know, 3 weeks into the season. Playing for a postseason spot. And again, it's a tribute to what they've been able to do, what that young team has been able to do, and what Dick Geron has been able to do. But at the same time, I don't think they ultimately have what it takes to beat the Patriots this Sunday.
Yeah, I'm really starting to backtrack on that. I think we came in here on Wednesday at the start of Patriots playbook, and we're thinking, yeah, this is the game. And now I'm not so sure about it.
Yeah,
I just don't like it.
Well, I'll go back to the same thing that we've talked about earlier in the show, where the only way I see the Bills having a chance in this game is to have something weird happen, to have some special teams breakdowns on New England's part, maybe Brady to throw an interception or two, that kind of stuff. If that weird kind of fluky stuff starts to happen, they get that crowd into that game, they get a little bit of momentum, then I think the Patriots would have their hands full. But I just don't see that happening this Sunday.
Andy in Vermont writes us, Baltimore is not what they used to be. Aged, tired, old defense. Their offense is pathetic. Maybe the worst in the league next to the 49ers. And they are a turnover machine.
I'd almost say they're worse than the 49ers.
Probably. And they are a turnover machine every game I've seen them play this season. There is no way you can even mention them with the Blitzburg Squealers. This is the one I see as a tough game, but they've lost to Arizona and Denver. Can't wait for Sunday. The Patriots usually play well up in Orchid Park. He was up there last season when they killed the Bills. Yes, where is John? Wants to know where John Rook is. There's been theories floating around where John Rook. This is Andy in Vermont. I think it's Andy from upstairs. I bet it's Andy Hart writing, just to joke around with us. He also said LOL, so he's laughing out loud to himself, and gave us a thanks with two X's. I like your style, Andy. Good email. I like it. I gotta say, our emails have been fantastic today.
They've been really good today. I love the back and forth. I really do.
I've lost count. We've gotten about 10 emails today.
That's fantastic.
Which may be an all-time record.
That's perfect, man. Lots of people out there. Once again, the email address is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. If you want to call, number is 508-543-7482.
Chris, we got the injury report.
There we go.
Okay,
wow.
You ready?
What, 25 minutes ahead of time, too.
This is breaking news. Those who did not participate in practice, Eric Alexander with a knee injury.
No surprise.
Mel Mitchell with a groin.
No surprise.
And Eugene Wilson with an ankle.
Again, no surprise.
Wilson's had a tough go of it here. This has been a tough couple of years.
It has been after a rookie year where he really, really was a standout. He's had trouble making that leap to the next level, and I think this year, over the last couple of years, I think he's stepped back a little bit.
Limited participation in practice. Mike Vrabel, Wes Welker, team decisions the same as yesterday. Mm-hmm. Stephen Neal with a shoulder injury. Eddie Jackson with a knee injury. And here's the deal breaker. I think that could really play a factor in this game. Tom Brady with a right shoulder injury. Okay?
Really?
Take a deep breath.
Really?
It's going to be okay. And
Brady,
of course,
limited with a right
Brady
shoulder.
Is limited. This could be huge. The Buffalo Bills injury report. Marshawn Lynch obviously did not participate and probably is not going to play with that ankle injury. Robert Royal, limited participation with a head injury. That could... Concussion?
That's not good.
Aaron Schobel sick, but he did participate in practice.
I think that's going to be interesting if Schobel plays, because Schobel traditionally has given Matt Light fits, although they were able to neutralize him earlier in the year with a series of different series of blocking schemes, you know, moving the tight end over there. You know, there was an awful lot of Kyle Brady on that side of the ball the first time they met, so they were able to stop him. But Schobel, I think, is still one of the keys to this game.
All kidding aside, Royal and Schobel, the two only updates here, because Royal did not, neither player participated yesterday. Royal was back on a limited basis, and Schobel's back in full pads, so that's good news for the Bills, because they have, right now, we've mentioned, no offense here. Mm-hmm. Even healthy, they've got no offense. They've got no Lynch. They've already put two tight ends on IR. They need Robert Royal to have any sort of a short passing game or any kind of blocking up front. And obviously, Aaron Schobel adds a lot to that defense and pass rush. You want to get under Brady's skin a little bit if you can. It has not been easy for anybody this year, but if anybody can do it, it's Schobel.
Of all the active players out there, I still find this hard to believe, of all the active defensive players out there, Aaron Schobel has more sacks of Tom Brady than anyone else. Which,
right.
For me, is still, I would have bet dollars to donuts that it would have been Jason Taylor. But I just, it's amazing to me that Schobel has been able to have the success against the Patriots that he's had.
Did you ever see Schobel's profile pic?
He's
like a little head turn.
Yeah,
like,
he's got
like
an odd look about it.
He's like
it.
Modeling for Abercrombie and Fitch. Really interesting
kind
look.
Kind of a blue steel look.
I guess the ladies like Aaron Schobel. I'm not one to say. Andy in Vermont writes back and says he is actually Andy from Vermont and not Andy from PFW.
That's
so
good to know.
You ever notice when you come into this room during the crossover after the PFW guys here, it smells like a hockey rink? Just want to throw that out there. Okay?
It gets some Febreze in
Axe
here,
body spray, you know? Guys, okay? Three words. Is body spray one word or two?
I think body spray technically is only one word, I think, technically.
I just owned myself. Two words, guys. Axe body spray.
Nice.
Yeah, that's two cheap shots in the last 20 minutes. First on Andy Reid and first on the defenseless PFW guys who may run down here to defend themselves sooner or later.
So no great surprises, though, in the Patriots injury report.
It's nothing that's going to make
no
a difference
dramatic
in the game.
Changes from
I mean,
yesterday.
Wilson's been out, but Sanders has done a nice job. In fact, we heard from Rodney Harrison earlier in the show, and he did mention how James Sanders has done a nice job filling in. And if anybody can do it, it's Sanders. He's had a lot of experience filling in. I mean, he has had to be put into that role many times in the last 2 years, whether it's Harrison going down or Wilson going down. I don't know if you've had a chance to really watch Sanders, but I've been real impressed with the maturation process and how he's really filled in.
Now, would you say that Sanders has, and we talked about how Eugene Wilson has kind of stepped back a little bit,
yeah.
Would you say that James Sanders has maybe surpassed him in the eyes of some of the coaches?
I don't know if I go that far. I think by playing and being on the field and being available at all times, he's a step ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when healthy, you want Wilson out there. The problem is keeping him healthy. That's the big thing.
Well, that's the thing.
I got to see
when he's healthy. I would agree with you. Eugene Wilson is the choice, but he just hasn't been healthy lately.
I'd have to see Sanders for a full 16-week schedule and see how his body holds up. I'm not saying it's easier to stay healthy when you don't play full-time for 16, 17 weeks, but I think your body goes through a little less wear and tear. Obviously, the fewer snaps you're out there for.
Yep.
Now, put him out there for 16 full weeks and make him a full-time starter. Who's to say he doesn't get hurt?
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So, you know, you got to be careful just by putting guys in there. But they've invested a lot in a guy like Sanders.
They have.
He's not a first-round pick, but he's a third-round?
I think he's either third or fourth-round pick.
Third or fourth-round.
I'm
not
100%
sure. He's a guy who they've put a lot into and expect a lot from, and I think he's done a nice job. I don't know, but maybe this is a guy, and they've gotten Brandon Merriweather as well, so that's also another look toward the future. But you wonder what kind of role Sanders does have here and what kind of leg up he does have now by the fact that he has been able to fill in and fill in admirably over the years. Can't find it.
Can't find it here.
Trying to
find
info on James Sanders, and he's got nothing.
Oh, well, you know, you thought you had it at your fingertips, and then nothing.
You tried to be slick.
Not so much.
Pretend you're going to spit that off the top of the dome, and you couldn't do it.
Not so much.
The radio audience is not fooled.
Not so much. Once again, webradio@patriots.com. If you want to shoot us an email, we're going to be here for another few minutes. I believe we do have some sound coming out from Dick Geron. But,
we're gonna close out with Dick Geron soon, but we've got a couple more minutes. I just want to touch on some more NFL issues here. There's been a lot of injuries around the league, and I've had a nice interesting column from Chris Collinsworth from NFL.com asking where have all the Cowboys gone. No, he didn't ask that. He asked where all the good quarterbacks have gone. But it's a good point.
And that's something we brought up earlier in the show, where Matt Cassel could start for probably four or five teams in the National Football League.
I did write a column earlier this year about the quarterback class in the AFC East and how we were looking at Cleo Lemon, Kellen Clemens, and Trent Edwards, and then Tom Brady. You know, it's like one in like 10. You know, you don't even have a number two. None of those guys are even good enough to be a number two. That's the sad thing. But it just goes to show, and Collinsworth made a great point, all the top teams in the league, they have the top quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I wonder when this started to happen, when this separation in quarterbacks started. It just seems like it's a real top-heavy year for quarterbacks. Maybe I'm just not paying attention to the past 5 years. That could be the case.
I can remember post-2001. It's almost strange to think, but the quarterback system was almost, or the quarterback position was almost devalued because you had a run of guys who are considered not great quarterbacks,
yeah,
but very good game managers. Guys like Trent Dilfer. Of course, if you remember in 2001, Brady was not Tom Brady. Brady was a very good game manager, but yeah, at the same time, he wasn't putting up the absolute ridiculous numbers. You had guys like Dilfer and Stan Humphries and guys like that going to the, you know, Chris Chandler and Kerry Collins, guys like that going to Super Bowls, guys who weren't great quarterbacks but great game managers. I think that started to turn around probably 3-4 years ago when you saw the real emergence of you know, Brady really step forward statistically. Of course, Peyton Manning doing what Peyton Manning is doing. I don't think any of that is a coincidence that the Patriots and Colts are doing as well as they're doing because they have really the two best quarterbacks in the National Football League.
I agree 100%, Chris. That takes us to our time limit for today on Patriots Playbook. It's been a pleasure to have you in the studio talking about your book coming up, yep, talking about all the other opportunities we have on the horizon. It's been a great show. It's been a great 2 days filling in for John Rook. I want to thank you, Chris. I want to thank Buddy Love from yesterday. And I want to thank our listeners and our emailers who just flooded the inbox. Today. You guys are phenomenal. You really helped us carry the show. And we're going to close out with Dick Duron. Everybody, have a great afternoon.
Hey, Coach. Coach, is part of preparing for this game convincing your players that the Patriots can be beaten?
Well, I suspect that's probably true, you know, but it's probably true of everybody that's played them. To date, nobody's beaten them this year. They're clearly, you know, record-wise, they're the best in the league, and they've certainly shown it on the field and how they've played all their games. So, we know each other very well, but both the teams, you know, clearly we've played in the same division. We've played them once already this year, and they beat us badly in New England. So we just got to prepare the best we can and play the best we can and let it go.
Does that familiarity maybe take sort of some of the edge off, help your players to believe that it can be done?
Well, I think it is a little bit better when you really do know a team. You know, you know their personnel. You see them twice a year. And then, of course, New England's been – the Patriots have been the focal point of this division for a long time. You know, they just have ruled it. And my hat's off to them. They've done a terrific job in the organization getting the talent there, and then they do an outstanding job of coaching it and preparing them week to week. So, and then those guys play. But I think it is better if you play them twice a year. We know them, but it doesn't make the task any easier. And the fact that, you know, that they really have just played that one game against Indianapolis that was close. Rest of the time, they've just been outclassing everybody all year.
Is being the first team potentially to beat them this year? I mean, I know you want to win every game, but is that added motivation that the Bills could be the one that ends their run at perfection? Do you use that?
Well, no, we haven't actually to this point, because the game itself is just, it's big enough anyway. You know, where we are, and we're just struggling every week to fight to keep our head above water. And then we have this huge challenge in front of us with the Patriots. You know, that's plenty for us in and of itself. We're just trying to get ready to play the best game we can play. I don't know that we need any more motivation than that or that we could use any more. You know, as I said, we're just fighting every week to try to stay alive.
What's been the key for you guys? Last time you were up here, you were struggling. Now you're above 500. What's been the key to the turnaround?
Well, number one, it's our players. They've played really hard, and they've made plays, you know, when we had to have them made. And then I'd say our staff. Our staff has done, an excellent job of getting them ready to play every week and, you know, keeping them up and keeping them working. But you got to give the players credit. They're the ones that go out there and make the play. And then we've gotten a little bit of luck. And I really believe in this league. You got to have a little bit of luck. You know, the ball's got to bounce your way. You got to, you know, get some breaks in that regard, and you got to stay. Got to stay healthy, and we haven't done a very good job there. But our guys have really hung in there and done everything they can in preparation, and then really on game day to try to do whatever we can to win a game.
Dick, how did the first play of that game when you were up here in New England? How did that sort of change the course of your season? Because it seems like each week, or at least the last couple weeks, that you've had to deal with the question on who will be behind center.
Yeah, it definitely started it in that direction. There's no doubt about that. And then to answer the question, you know, it's hard to say how it changed it, because nobody knows where it would have gone if that hadn't occurred. But it definitely has changed the outlook of has changed the whole face of our season. We're back in a situation where JP is the guy, you know. He has played well in his last three outings. Even a week ago against Miami, you know, he didn't make all the plays he wanted to make or that we wanted him to make. He made them in the end, you know, at the end of the game. He did enough good things for us to get us down there and give us a chance to win. So kind of back in the situation we entered that game in, you know, all those weeks ago. It's been an interesting ride to this point, and I'm sure it'll stay really interesting as we move along.
Yesterday you had released a statement saying that JP would be, you know, the quarterback this week. Is it a week-to-week thing, or is that something where you are comfortable sort of locking in right now and saying he'll be our guy, you know, for the foreseeable future?
I know. I certainly don't mind it the way it is right now. And what I've said here, and I've said it kind of through the whole time that the media's ever been interested in talking to me, that it's no different than any other position on our football team, that it's always open to competition. If there is a better player that can come in and take somebody's job, then that's the way we'll go. We'll try to always play the guys that we think give us, you know, the best opportunity. Now, that doesn't, you know, on a lot of teams, that's unrealistic, because they don't have guys that might be better, and their guys in the first spot are awfully good. But even there, if somebody should arise that played that spot and played it better, I'm sure they'd make a switch too. So it's not really significantly different, I don't think, than about any place else. It's just that it's such a focus, or has been such a focus here right now at that position, you know, between those guys.
Coach, a lot of fans nationally may not know Wes Welker, but what do you see when you look at him on tape?
Oh, just a terrific football player, you know, in every area. He plays hard, he plays fast, he's a very smart player, he's tough, you know, and he plays a clean game. I think the guy's an outstanding player.
Coach, I just want to shift gears for half second. A former coach of yours is being inducted into a Hall of Fame on Saturday, Bob DeFelice. Do you remember playing for him at Swampscott?
Well, yeah, actually, that's Frank, I believe.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Bob's his brother.
Yep.
Yeah, I do. I remember him very well. I mean, we still stay in touch quite often. I see him quite often. I'm really excited for him. Some of my teammates will be there. I know that on that night, because I've spoken with him. Mm-hmm. And he's a tremendous coach. And as you well know, I'm sure he's in the Massachusetts Schoolboy Hall of Fame as a baseball coach.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah, he's a tremendous man. He's a very honest guy, tough guy, and he's devoted to kids, to the development of kids, to helping kids become better, to help them grow into better men. So, yeah, I'll never forget Frank DeFelice.
Mm-hmm. What was he? He was your line coach, is that correct?
He was our offensive line coach. He was an assistant on the basketball team, assistant coach, and he was the head, the varsity baseball coach.
Mm-hmm. Was he impactful in your life?
I would say yes. Yeah, I would say yes. I mean, I got the opportunity to play for him. He was the head coach in baseball. He was certainly an integral part of those other two sports that I played, football and basketball. And then we played summer baseball together on a summer league team, and he played first base, and his brother Bob was our catcher, and I played some shortstop for him, and it was, those were great times.
Coach, you said before that Welker plays a clean game. What does that mean?
I just he's very aggressive, you know, in every aspect of his game, and in blocking, in catching, and running with the ball, in his return game, but you don't see him very often jawing at people or taking cheap shots at people, but he plays with a lot of energy and a lot of aggression, you know, and kind of plays the game the way you believe it should be played. Got a lot of respect for him.
What have you done to get Lee Evans on track? Last time you were up here, he was having a tough start to the season. Seems like he's come on a little bit lately.
Yeah, I don't know that we've done anything differently. As you know, in our game, every game kind of unfolds and takes on its own life, so to speak. And you try to force it. You know, you try to force it where you want it. Sometimes you succeed and sometimes you don't. But early in the year, we just weren't performing very well. There's no way I can say we've been lighting it up lately, but we've been a little more consistent, with our game, and I think that's a factor. And we've made some plays away from him at times, and that's a factor too. Because you got to show people that you can't hurt them away from him, or they don't have any reason not to double him, not to take him away from you all the time, force you away, you know. I just think we've been playing a little bit better overall.
Coach, with the way the game is structured, a lot of us thought that the really super teams were we just might not see those again. Given the current system, is it surprising to you to see what the Patriots have done to this point?
You know, I guess that I would have to say no, and only because I'm pretty familiar with them. I shouldn't say I am. I should say the whole league, because this is not a new thing there. I mean, they've been winning for a while and winning consistently. When you talk about three Super Bowls, that says a whole lot for an organization and a team in terms of how they've done it and what they've done and the caliber of their talent and how they've coached it. And the nucleus of that group stays. It's pretty much there. Changes a little. They do a real nice job around it. So I would say no. At this point, what they've done is phenomenal. But it just kind of carried on for a number of years here.
Coach, you mentioned the players have been integral in your turnaround. Were they also the ones that kept it together? I mean, it seemed like you were losing a player or two every week for the first month of the season. How did they tough that out?
I think that's absolutely true. They did. They're a real good group, hardworking, not afraid to work, not afraid to be pushed, not afraid to be coached. They appear, I don't socialize with them, but they appear to like each other or to enjoy each other's company, at least, in the building, at the facility. I'm assuming probably off the building to some degree, so it's really a pretty close team. And then been through a whole lot of things, at the beginning of this year that really have had an impact on everyone in their own way that's here, and probably the whole group, as one, too. And that's, I would say that's been positive only because Kevin Everett, who was at the center of a lot of stuff here early and still is doing well and keeps making progress. That has really helped us all, the fact that he's doing pretty well, that helps us all here.
How has Marshawn responded health-wise this week after getting hobbled there a little bit in Sunday's game?
He's real sore. We'll just have to see kind of as we move along here. We're not particularly optimistic about it, though.
How do you feel your depth at running back is if he can't go?
I'm sorry?
How do you feel your depth at running back is if he isn't able to go on Sunday?
Well, you're always going to miss a talent like Marshawn. And every week he appears to me to be getting better. He's such a, I don't know, he's such an easy guy to have around. He's a hard worker, and he's a tough guy. And he's got a lot of talent, let's face it. We didn't draft him that high because we didn't think he had it, but he's very talented. Then we have Anthony Thomas, who's been in the league and is a solid performer, really good football player. Dwayne Wright, we just drafted this year, and then Freddie Jackson that we got from NFL Europe a year ago. This is his second year with us, so we're working at it, and we're looking forward to their opportunity to play, and I know they are, and we'll see how it goes.
Do you think that you have to, in order to match up with the Patriots, do you go into a game thinking you got to put 28 points on the board, and is that a concern given that you haven't exactly been prolific on offense?
Well, I guess I should thank you for the way you worded the question. The only way to answer that question is to say yeah, because I think the least they've scored is, the 24 against Indianapolis to beat them. So there you go. You're going to have to score, you're going to have to score a lot of points. They score a lot of points, and they make it look easy doing it, So you got to anticipate that you got to keep the ball as much as you can, obviously, and score. Now, that being said, everybody that's played them has had the same idea, and nobody has seemed to come up with a way to keep them off the board or to get on the board a whole lot. So it's a tough chore.
Not discounting your team's chances, but do you see the Patriots as a threat to go undefeated this season?
They're the only one that has it. They're the only one in our league at this point that is a threat to go undefeated. That's it. So, yeah, the threat is still there, and they've got a lot of, they've got a ways to go, and we got to get ready and try to play them this week and do whatever we can do. You couldn't say they weren't a threat because they're undefeated at this point.
Dick, your red zone defense has been pretty good. What's been the key to that?
I'm sorry?
Your red zone defense has been very good. What's been the key?
Yeah, I think, number one, I do believe that Perry Fuel and our defensive staff does a really nice job. And then the players, as we said earlier, they've played awfully hard, and they've performed well. We've gotten a few breaks, and you need to get those. But they've done a nice job executing down there, trying to figure out what other people are doing to them, how they're attacking us, and then trying to counter that. So it's been good in that regard, and obviously we know this week is a unique test just because the Patriots are playing at such a high level.
Bill Belichick said recently that you would be his pick for Coach of the Year just because of the job your team has done, and that a couple of bounces here and there you might be 7-2. What does that mean to you to hear him say something like that?
No, that's nice of him. I don't. When people say things like we could be 7-2, and I've heard it, I also say to them, well, we could be 0-9. We played things very close, except in, against the Patriots the first time. That wasn't particularly close. And Pittsburgh, that was not a – it was – got out of hand in the third quarter. But other than that, all of our games have been close. So, if you – I've always felt if you can argue the one side where we say we could be 7-2, you got to look at the other side of that too. I think we are where our guys deserve to be. They've played awfully hard, awfully hard to just get us back to some form of respectability.
That's good. Thank you very much, Dick. That was great.
Thanks, Dick.
Yeah, I'll look forward to seeing you all on Sunday.